Hello and welcome to Pro U Podcast, episode number 381, year end reflection of 2020. Dun 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 dun. Last episode, PYP episode of 2020. Basically, two lists that I go over. One is my 2020 highlights. I'm not actually sure how many there were, but things that stood out in my mind. And then I go over a list of why I'm different. Why Tom is special. And not in that kind of way, but it's like when I think about, you know, I just popped into my head, but like I haven't had a boss in forever. I haven't worn pants in like 3 years. You know, I don't mention either one of those, but that kind of thing, like what I notice I don't experience or do or haven't been involved with or whatever. And again, not sacrifices at all, but I can tell all of the things that I've cut out have raised my vibration. To use my recent verbiage. And again, it's just how I feel, you know. Alcohol wasn't a bad thing for me. It wasn't like, you know, doing anything really bad to me. Was it helping me? No. Was it helping me evolve? No. Was it assisting in my personal growth? No. So just more and more, it was me going, well, 8.3 is cool. What's an 8.5 like? And it was probably some point in this year where I said officially I was at 8.7. I always use that scale 1 to 10. Because, like, things are just getting clear and they're staying that way. And, you know, I've been this good all year. And because I was this good all year, I just kept getting better and better because I was highly aware. Wow, I'm still good. Wow, I still feel good. You know, hey, COVID's happening. A lot of people are hurting. And I'm humbled because I'm good and I'm thankful. And it's like, wow, I'm just, you know, my life hasn't changed. It's changed. It's unaffected. I just, again, be thank you and be thankful. And, you know, just gratitude, gratitude, gratitude. And then they get to share that story. That's the dopest thing. I walk the earth. I have the exact experience that I share. Come to my well by the water I sell. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening, for being you, for supporting Zen in my journey. Enjoy. Be safe this evening if you're going out, and happy new year, 2020. What's up? Maybe another tad for Tom. Enjoy. Well, here it is, ladies and gentlemen, the final PYP episode of 2020. I'm sure there's a bunch of people out there with a big sigh of relief, the fact that 2020 is over. But I and my tribe had a bit of a different experience. 2020 was not that bad. We actually grew, evolved, learned a lot, and we're worth it. So I've really been thinking about like the year-end reflection episode ever since, I don't know, like early December, just in all the things that kind of went on. And then as it got closer, I just have sticky notes. It's just it's a chaos on the PYP desk right now. But I'm going to do my best to make some sense of it. But the first thing that comes to me is, you know, and this is again, you know, with my tribe as well, that we all made it through it. And myself and those that I chat with, we're all better than we were in 2019. So it's like right there, win, touchdown, end zone, doesn't matter. The little itty bitty details or things that didn't go correctly that we didn't have written down or didn't have planned, doesn't matter. In the end, we won. We made it through. And we grew through what we were going through. And that's omnipotent. I never really did New Year's resolutions. And I don't ever make any big statements like, you know, about goals or anything like that. But at the end of 2019, in November, I stopped drinking. And it didn't, again, it wasn't like, oh, I'm an alcoholic, you know, I'm just struggling trying to say no to alcohol. It's like, okay, yeah, whatever. You know, it's like lowering salt or something. It's like, okay, yeah, I took that out. It wasn't a real big deal. It wasn't really hard. It wasn't really anything. And thus, I wasn't hoping for any kind of big upside. But I get this quote kind of around January, February of 2020, and it says, alcohol lowers your vibration. I'm like, that's just crazy. Like, I hear quotes all the time. I've seen a million of them, never heard that. And I stumble upon it, you know, a month or so after I stopped drinking alcohol. And I had recently been talking about the whole vibration thing. So it was like really poignant and hit me. And I was like, no way. But my art kind of transcended in 2020, kind of went to a new level. And met a dude named Jim on the beach and said he showed his pictures of my art to his hospice group, and we chatted back and forth, and I made the hospice group a gift, and I asked if I could speak, and I went there and I spoke on loss. If I just had that would be a pretty cool year, because it's something I've never done, and it was completely spontaneous, and it was, you know, a dude and his dog balancing stones, not trying to get anything from it. And there's this little trail that led to, I actually just ran into Jim like last week at the beach. I was like, oh, just a friend. And he was talking about these islands, you know, off the coast of California. He goes, when all this is done, because he does like these guided tour things, and he goes, I'm going to take you and Zen over there. And I'm like, okay. It's like this really cool friendship. And then there's been a bunch of people that followed me on Facebook, and really good spirited, you know, cool energy people. And one lady has bought, you know, a few things of mine, found art pieces. So just that one little moment where that guy stopped and said, hey, I wanted you to know I take pictures and I share them with my hospice group. That one moment completely set all this other things into motion, which I was, again, sitting in a hospice group talking about loss. Why? I don't know. No clue. Never written it down. Never, you know, I want to one day speak at nothing. Just in the moment. And it's kind of like something I didn't even write it down. Well, I did write it down, but not as like this bullet point, but it was kind of the, how do I say it? Just the high awareness of being present. You know, because it was kind of in that moment where it's like the guy walks up, hey, I like your stuff. Okay, thanks. Yeah, whatever. Bye. You know, I was like in that moment going, wait a minute, you show my picture, my art to a hospice group? And I'm like, what? And, you know, just right there. But I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? Boom, boom, boom. Hey, ask the group if I can come. You know, it was just this, I didn't think, I didn't question. Just completely in the moment. And again, it's like, well, I'm vibrating higher. So you're attracting this higher whatever. See what I'm saying? It's all still new to me. But it's like your frequency raises. So now you attract things of other higher frequencies. You know, you attract that which you're like. There's a quote I just put out the other day. It says, the law of attraction. You don't attract what you want. You attract what you are. So again, just in that moment, you know, vibrating where I was able to, you know, really see this gym dude as a cool dude. And now here we are, you know, almost a year later, friends. And I just, like I said, I just saw him like last week, and I haven't seen him, you know, maybe once or twice since then. So it's just kind of cool that, like, not I quit alcohol and I got to speak at a hospice group, but stepping back, you can kind of see how things were kind of leading into 2020 being a great year for me. And I knew going in, I'm turning 55. That's 2-5. Zen turns 5. That's 3-5. The podcast, Pro U podcast, turns 5. 4-5. Add them up. What year is it? 2020. I was like, that's just kind of cool. Kind of in the numbers a little bit. So I had all that going into my birthday. And, you know, I felt good coming into the year because I, you know, was alcohol hurting me? I doubt it, you know, to a point of like unhealthiness or anything like that. But was it helping me? No. That's the key. So I took out something that wasn't helping me. I could feel a vibrational shift. And I liked the number thing. And Zen has been, you know, healthy, and I've been healthy. And I was like, okay, well, you know, I was kind of funky with my health. He got hurt. You know, we went through an accident a few years ago. You know what I mean? Just a lot of stuff. And I was like, yeah, but this year, you know, we're pretty cool. And, you know, I kind of got rid of my fear of money. I was going into my 401k, and I'm like, okay, just take out more money, pay rent, whatever. You know, it's there. Use it. You know, didn't, like, I was like kind of unaffected. And then April, COVID, pandemic. And in that month, because of closures, Mosier's gym closes, and he calls me up. Well, in that moment, getting a client, and I also got another client online. So it was like April, May. I got two clients. So all of a sudden, the beginning of the pandemic and all the bad, I was like paying my bills. For the first time in 2 years, I wasn't going into my 401k. I was able to pay my bills. And I was actually able to save a little bit. And I was dumbfounded. Because for 2 years, I was like, you know, I can't get a client. I'm trying online. I'm, you know, through my podcast, through training, through, you know, I got clients not trying for a very long time. But I kept, I just had this deep belief that what was happening was supposed to be happening. If I was supposed to get more clients, I would. But I was enjoying evolving in the slowdown, you know, my slowdown from the accident, Zen getting hurt, me not working as much, me not going places. You know, it was just, I kind of hunkered down. I didn't do as much, didn't go places. You know, I've always washed my hands. I stopped kind of shaking people's hands because I was like, you know, I don't know where your hands have been all day. And I don't really, it was just a thing I did. It wasn't a germophobia thing, but I was completely in this place that completely prepped me for 2020. And that I was highly aware of because I was like, yeah, nothing's changed for me in April except I can pay my bills. So yeah, life got better. And then by May, June, things were kind of shutting down, closing down. People were starting to do things less, so gas got cheaper. I got a rebate from my car insurance. Less people on the highway. And then the only beach that didn't close was mine, was the one I go to, was Zen. So come May, June, July, making money, saving money, going to my beach, healthy, Zen's healthy. And life has not changed from what I was doing January 2020, December 2019. I mean, I just had a couple more clients. But I was highly aware of how well I was doing prior to COVID. And I was highly aware of how well I was doing because I knew COVID was affecting a lot of people financially, you know, with health, you know, just across the board and like worldwide kind of thing. So when you're not being affected and everybody else is, I think that's a great, great point of, you know, to be humble and be like, wow, what, you know, I have no idea why I've just been, you know, nothing has affected me. Nothing has affected me at all. And I haven't got sick like in 5 years, so I didn't have like a worry of getting sick, and I'm not around people, and I don't socially gather, and I'm socially distanced from everybody. So none of it bothered me. And all of a sudden I had kind of this message that I'm like, hey, I'm over here doing this thing, and I'll share it on the podcast. And all of a sudden my vibe was kind of transcending into my vibe, and then my tribe, and then all of my people were starting to do good and understand and slow down and understand the benefits of slowing down and what to focus on and to be thankful for in lieu of what's going on. Be thankful in all circumstances, not for them. I wasn't jumping out up and down going, yay, COVID's here and I'm rocking. I was like, okay, COVID's here. It's real. It's bad. People are suffering and I'm not. And thank you, Jesus. You know, I was right there and I'd been that way before it. So like I said, it was just like, I don't know. It's like I did good at something because I didn't have to change. I became this version of me prior to 2020. And so I was able to celebrate that version of myself in 2020, which helped me evolve. And the big thing was kind of self-love. It was going, look, if you're going to have a mindset that if there's something to critique myself, you know, with, I will. It's like, well, then that's never going to change then. So you're always going to be the worst thing in your head, and you're always going to be the enemy, and you're always going to be your own stumbling block and your own obstacle. You know, argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they're yours. If you're going to constantly critique yourself, and I was like, okay, way to go, Tom. Yeah, you're doing better with your temper. Oh, well, you don't know exactly who you're going to be, but hey, just be your best today. And it was like, quiet. I had felt quiet. I experienced, but like next level. And then that was like empowering to me. And I'm sitting there walking, going, okay, now it's my message. You know, we're June, July, August of 2020, and I've never been this consistently good. And I'm highly aware of how thankful I am and how good I have. And it's not because I got a bunch of money and a bunch of stuff or a bunch of things or friends or places I go or people I see. I just got really good at being me. And my life as is got easy before the big pandemic. And then, like I said, with the whole frequency and vibrating higher and attracting better things and better people and better moments and being present and able to capitalize those. So I just wrote down some random moments, and they are in no particular order whatsoever. But I mentioned, you know, my birthday was like a big deal this year just because of like the number thing. And then, like, I knew when the pandemic came, I was prepped, I was ready, you know. And I, you know, the first month or so, you could feel the people freaking out at the stores, and that affected me. I wasn't not affected, but I was fine outside of the stores. You know what I mean? Like, I was, what I do, walk my dog, get up, run, go to the beach, come home, work on my art, train people online. And the three people I saw physically, saw live, went online, and now like, well, I have no idea why I had to go back. Like, I was with them long enough for them to get equipment or whatever or have it, and I don't have to be there and hand kind of hold and hand, you know what I mean? They know what they're doing. I just tell them what to do now. So the transition was crazy. So, again, another moment was, you know, when Mosher called. And I was like, you know, okay, now that dude's up in Oakland, set, you know, at a gym, moved away, you know, well, friends, but that's it. No more training. He moved away. And then poof, hey, everybody's going online. My gym closed. You want to go online? I'm like, no way. Like, that's, and again, you know, get a great friend back as a client and know you can chat with them, you know, twice a week, every week. So that was super, super huge. But then in November or October when it was, you know, he moved, and he moved, you know, fairly close to the beach I always go to. So I've been to his place a couple times, but I dropped off a gift the first time and just left, and he invited me back, and I came back, and then that visit, he's, you know, showing me the house. We went up, and outside his office, there's a deck, and he goes, "Yeah, I just got these cool rocking chairs," and they look like regular chairs, but they kind of rock. So we sat, Zen laid down, and we chatted, and in that moment, he got this amazing view out his backyard. And it was just in that moment where it was just, again, I was highly present. I was like, wow, here you are, you know, sitting, you know, on your good friend's deck, having one of these chats. And it's a pretty nice deck on a pretty nice house with a pretty nice view. And it was just like I did something right to get there. You know what I mean? To get to that dude's deck and sit in his brand new rocking chairs and have a chat. I was like, I did something right. And it was like, again, I was just highly present in that moment. And then, you know, cars are always money and stress. And I love my Jeep Cherokee, and it's just been wicked awesome for Zen and I. And recently I cleaned out the back, just stuff I was carrying. And I'm like, when am I going to ever use that stuff or need that? And I just emptied it all back, folded the seat down in the middle, and put a dog bed in the middle where the seats were, or they're now folded down. And then the back, I put a big cushion and blanket for Zen. So now the whole back area is for Zen. And it's just cool, comfortable, and peaceful. But I really dig my car. It wasn't perfect because it had a couple dents and dings, and I brought it in to get it fixed. And it turned into kind of a crazy long story. But I wasn't tested, and I wasn't thrown. And at one point, I had to point something out and make someone uncomfortable, and I didn't really want to do that or enjoy it. But how it ended was I wasn't spending any money, and I was getting money back, and my car would be perfect. And when that, I was like, you know, because I like it, but, you know, it's like I've never had like a perfect car. You know what I mean? It's always old, used. It's got some sort of dings or dents or something. But it was just like this car I loved. And just everything about it. Like I just don't think I'll ever need another car. I love cleaning it because it's clean and it looks nice. And it's always been a thing. I grew up washing cars. So I'm just big into having a clean car and kind of ingrained in me. But it's just this thing where it's like, okay, that never happens. And it's another moment. But I just posted a picture of kind of like a stone garden. It's like these stone stacks on a round piece of wood with my logo, which is super dope. But I delivered it to Ken, who's my car guy. Because on Wednesday, which is the 23rd, yes, at 4:50, I roll into my apartment, the parking, and my window doesn't go up. And it was kind of acting funky, but I'm like, it's, and I, Ken's like, we're closing in 5 minutes. I go, I'll be there in 4. And I rolled over there, and they're having this Christmas party. And I'm like, what? And he goes, it's like, window, we're closed. And last time I went there, he's throwing like an employee party. So it's just like a great dude, great boss. Because he's like, yeah, loud music. They're grilling. You know, it's like this whole thing. And I'm like, well, here's the deal. You know, I got a client. I got to go. And he's like, all right, take this rental car. Come back and we'll have it, you know, ready for you. And I end up coming back. And all they could do is, they had to get the switch and order. It wasn't coming until Monday. So they just rolled up the window all the way. And it was like, you know, just go take it and come back on Monday. And then I went back, which was yesterday. It is Tuesday that I'm recording this. And that night when we were talking, I, you know, came back and forth. And we just all of a sudden started chatting. And he moved into this new space. He kind of expanded. We're sharing that 2020 was actually a good year for him. I kind of shared it was good for me. We kind of just talked about energy and a little spirituality. And then his logo was all black and green. I said, well, I just love that color and combination. It just looks good on your building and the new sign and all that. And he's like, well, green, it just reminds you of like earth. And he goes, look around. I got trees. And, you know, he does. He's got all these plants around the lot. I was like, and also he just kind of opened up who he was. And I'm like, I'm bringing him a gift. I walked in the office. I saw a spot and I go, can I have that spot? He walks over, he clears the counter and he goes, that's your spot. Do what you want. So like, I mean, I just felt like dude owns an auto body shop, but like this super dope moment. And when I brought in, like, dude Ken loved it. Like, it just matches. It looks great. And it's like, no one has anything like that. I'm the only person that makes stuff like that. So if you get something from me, it's completely one of a kind. And then doing it, he was so fired up. And again, it was just like, wow, who has awesome, amazing moments with the guy that fixes their car? Tahoe. It was, you know, I don't know how many times I've been there now, but it was like the best trip. I was chilled driving. I go, I won't get a ticket because I'm setting it at this speed. And I don't care when I get there. And I didn't care. And it was perfect. And then went there to really see this friend's dog, this Koba. So Zen and they could play. And it was amazing how well these two dogs. And that's it for me. Like, I would drive that far just to have that experience for Zen. And I was filled. But the couple was cool. Their house was dope. Then I went to Brian and Don's, my friend. And Don's like, you know, next time Zen can just stay here. Because she had kind of like a no-dog policy. And just had these awesome conversations with Brian. You know, he was a good friend of mine. And had this chill drive home. And I was like, that was like the best trip ever. And it was like, well, you know, it was like everything I was experiencing seemed like it was the best. Like it had kind of ever been. And it just, and you know, one day I was talking to Moshe. He's like, well, you're just really present. And it just hit me. It's like, that's exactly right. It's just, I'm able to kind of capitalize on these moments and just really embrace them because my life was slow. I'm slowed down. I can just dwell in the moment and be present and capitalize on whatever joy is available. And again, to me, it kind of like becomes a superpower because when you have all that going on in your head, simultaneously it's blocking out everything you don't have, all the noise. I was shared information by Moshe about this park, Elysian Park. Zen and I went there a couple times. It was probably the second or third time. And it's huge, huge area. So I just picked one area and I found this kind of like a bunch of cement picnic tables. It was kind of a flat area with, you know, kind of like a picnic area. And nobody was there. So I'm like, oh, cool, I'll come here and write. So one day I was sitting there and, you know, Zen just kind of walks around the area around the table and I see up on the ridge, you know, this dog. And I went, oh, wow, it's a dog. And I'm like, wait a minute, a dog? Why is a dog walking alone in a park at 9:30 in the morning? And I was like, you know, heightened awareness, ding, 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 might be a coyote. So I, you know, kind of get up and I just kind of walk towards the center a little bit just to see. And sure enough, out of, you know, kind of this ridge where we're standing, there's kind of a road. And he comes walking out and Zen's by me. So I'm all cool. And I start filming and I'm like, that's a coyote. And then I pan left and I'm like, and that's a second coyote. So now two coyotes are walking out. So I'm like, okay, what's up? Do I got to fight two coyotes to protect Zen? Like, I'm, what do we need to do? Run? Like, I'm right there ready. But they're just chill. One's not really looking. And the one that's a little closer to us kind of walks over kind of towards us by this picnic table and lays down. And I'm like, okay. And I go, Zen. And he just starts going. Like, I was like, Zen, let's go say hi. And I go, no, wait. And I call him back. And we sit down. And I'm, I don't know, 40, 50 feet. And this coyote gets up, walks to the other side of the picnic table, lays back down, rolled on it back. At one point, totally looks away from us. Like, you, like, what, wouldn't take his eyes off us unless he like trusted us. So I'm like reading into this whole thing and going, well, they're not sensing like any threat or danger. I'm not sensing any threat or danger, so I'm just gonna chill. A bunch of people had a bunch of opinions about they were acting injured because they were bait dogs. They were trying to lead you into the woods to attack you by the pack. And I guess a lot of that is true, but I don't care. In that moment, I know what was going on. And I gave myself the Indian name, Sits with Coyotes. And I asked people, I go, do you know any person that's been in anywhere and just sat down because a wild coyote sat down. And do you know anybody who was with a dog and sat down with a live coyote? Like, it was one of the coolest experiences of my life. Because to me, I understood what was happening. And for that, it don't happen. There's millions of people that have been to that park. I doubt anyone else ever sat down with a coyote who also had a dog. There's just no way. And I'm like, that's the energy. And I've always said, you know, live animals and experiences with them is just one of the coolest things if you're into nature and that kind of stuff. So being at the beach, seeing dolphins, seeing seals, like that's just like the dopest thing in the world. Well, this is just like 2 weeks ago. I'm at the beach. I'm done with my balance and I'm taking pictures and I'm focused looking through the viewfinder of my camera at this stone balance, taking a couple pictures, and I see this like dark image. So my mind clicks, oh, it must be Zen. So I think I took one more picture and I just lowered the camera and I peeked over it. And walking towards me, 30, 40 feet away, it's a baby seal. They do not come ashore where people are. Like, I was just like totally tripping. And I was close to a big seal that came ashore. And the only reason they do that is when they're sick. And this one was sick. And, you know, so I knew that. But right away, looking, this dude just walking up and just looked healthy and just stopped. And I took a picture and then I looked at Zen because he's looking behind us at the hill checking for lizards. And he just kind of slowly turns his head like over his shoulder. And he's like, is that a baby seal right there, Papa? Like, he like, wait a minute. I only see their heads way out in the water and this little dude's on shore. So the seal takes a couple steps towards the water. Because now I think he's really focused on like Zen and I are like right now focused on him. So he takes, this is the coolest part. He takes a couple steps towards the water. He stops. He turns and he looks at us. And I take one more picture. And if you look at the pictures online, there's a picture with this wave kind of curling behind the seal. And that's the last picture. And then Zen ran to go say hi. And the seal ran in the water. But I'm like, there's no one south of me, north of me, no one around. He didn't just accidentally come ashore right in front of me. And it's like, why? Again, the energy thing, you know? Because now you go half a mile north and it's the seal sanctuary. And this is probably a month ago or so. It was, the seals only hang out there early in the morning. And it was not that early, but I was just kind of walking kind of where you're not supposed to walk. But everybody does. And I got to a point I saw just, it looked like 50 or 60 seals. And I kept making sure Zen was behind me. And I took this picture and they were all just chill. And all of a sudden, like, one popped its head up, two popped its head, like 5, 10. They all started popping their heads up, looking over towards me. Zen had walked one step ahead of me. And now they started like going into the water. And I just called Zen. I said, come on, because I didn't want to freak them out or scare them. And they do. Like if dogs, they said, because I was up on top of the seal sanctuary. And they wouldn't let Zen come to the edge. Like, you know, anytime there's dogs around, they get really freaked out. I'm like, okay. So I've always retained that knowledge. So I'm sitting there going, okay, it's me and my dog in a rock stack, 30, 40 feet away. Like, it wasn't like, you know what I mean? Like, we were hiding or he didn't see Zen or anything. Like, it was a, I believe, a very conscious decision to come ashore. Now, whether it was curiosity or you're not, he felt comfortable enough, he, she, to come ashore, stop, pause, look, take a couple steps back, stop, look one more time. And then when Zen ran up, then he went into the water. And I'm like, okay, I had that with the seal and the coyotes. Like, that would just make it my best year. Because I'm like, okay, I'm obviously operating at a different frequency to have those events happen. That's how I look at it. It's like, well, I've been on this earth for a long time. I'm going to the ocean a long time. I've been walking in nature a long time. Never sat with a coyote till 2020. Never had a seal swim out of the water and approach myself. And both times with a dog. So these are live animals chilling with a man and his dog. Yeah. I mean, I don't think I need a whole lot more than that. There was I don't really know how to say this exactly, a time or a moment this year when I made this found art piece. And I had three, I had a kind of a flat piece, a piece of driftwood, and a stone. And I kind of three pieces. And at that point, I really didn't see it going forward because I couldn't see anything like, well, it's okay, but I just, and I'm like, well, what if I added this piece, a bigger bottom piece? And I'm like, okay. And that's like, well, what if I just got some twine and just went up and down in between the branch of the driftwood and with some like eye hooks. And then I was like, boom, added this candle holder thing and made this kind of handle out of dowels and wrapped the same twine from up above on the thing and added these little feet cut from dowels. And I'm like, I put more time and energy and detail into this piece and it was just like happening. And when I got done, I called it, you know, wood, stone, and light, because it's just an overwhelming candle holder, or over whatever, overcomplicated candle holder. But it's got like, you know, four or five different pieces of wood, this piece of driftwood. It kind of looks something like maybe an instrument or something. And then there's just two stones. They're both balanced. They're both resting there. And then you have this little thing that's holding a candle votive for like a tea candle. And I was just like, this is what I'm doing now. Wood, stone, and light. You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, it's like I bought some chain and some leather and some different stuff to kind of do this going. And I made another one out of this little blinked black chain. And again, I was so stoked. Not selling them, just putting them up in the Zen garden. But it was like I looked at two or three pieces that I'm like, cool, that's a piece of driftwood on a board. It looks cool. I got a little round wood chip on top that I can put a candle on. Done. And this year, now that I evolved, I'm like, oh, now those are like perfect to add metal accents, to add chain, to add, you know, leather to. And then the best transformation was this piece. It kind of looked like a big pipe, kind of a short little stubby end, and then the end that kind of went up tall, like the part that you, you know, suck on or smoke. And even my neighbor, I was letting it outside dry, and he goes, looks like a pipe. Well, I ended up cutting that twice, the long piece, and kind of zigzagging it, and I had no idea it could be so cool when it's done, but it's definitely like my favorite piece in the Zen garden. So again, just having like these moments where I'm at home making stuff and going, oh my God, I love it. I've never been at this level before. This is fantastic. I'm so stoked. And it was just for me. And then I painted a wall and I walked into the Home Depot going, I want like a dark tan, light brown, and I picked up one, and I was like, eh, and then I just walked over 10 feet, reached, grabbed rust. I was like, rust? I love rust. Went over, got it, bought it, painted it, loved it. And a client's like, man, people are, you know, trying to, you know, clean and organize because of COVID. It's like, you're just doing it to do it and enjoy it. And it was just cool because people were like, you know, Tom's just enjoying 2020. And on my podcast, it's like, okay, now it's August, you know, September, October, still doing good. You know, now it's the second wave and, you know, shutting down again and things were closing again. And, you know, it was just people were going through some tough time. And I just kept having moment after moment after moment. And then I decided to get myself a reward for Christmas. And I got two tattoos. And one I knew I wanted to get, and it was just the number 55, because that's how old I was, and it was by far my best year ever. And I was like, okay, I'm going to put that in the back of my hand so I can see it all the time. I'm going to be like, that's it. I am 55 right now. That's my tattoo this year right now, 2020, best year of my life. And it's like, you know, I walked into this year going, you know, this is going to be a good year. Like I said, I don't really do predictions. I don't do like, well, this next year I'm going to birth. Nothing. But I just felt good. Like I felt like I had never felt before. And so like I kind of knew exactly what I was going to get. And I'm like, I'm going to get a 55 somewhere. And I'm like, I just want to see it all the time. And then I got it. And I got Kiyosa's name put on. That's my first dog's name. I got Zen's name. I got the Chinese character for Zen. You know, I got his paw prints. And it just kind of felt, you know, because there are moments still this year when I teared up thinking about Kiyosa. And when I came home, it just like really meant a lot for me to be able to see his name. Because I believe in my heart he was as good as Zen. I just wasn't. So I wasn't aware, you know, I didn't tap into how good he was. And I wasn't that good. And it is the one relationship, the one thing that I regret. Because, like I said, I wasn't always in the best mood. I was going through a bunch of shit. And he was this recipient of some of that shit because he was the closest to me. You know, and then I went to Japan for 3 months and he stayed in a car lot. You know, dude was cool. Stayed in the car lot for 3 months. And then I left to go to Vegas. I couldn't take him with me. And he stayed at a really nice couple's house, yard, big pool in the backyard in Vegas. And I would go visit him. And then they shut down. The man was a little older and he was getting sick. And they're like, you know, we can't keep Kiyosa anymore. And at that same moment, my ex's best friend said, I'll take him, who lived in Orange County. So it was fantastic, the city of Orange. And she's an animal lover, so I knew Kiyosa was getting loved and taken care of. And then I could visit him. And then she contacted us, and he had tumors. And he spent 3 hours with me the night before. Went back with, her name was Jennifer, that night. And the next morning I drove to her vet and held him as he was put to sleep. It's the only time I ever screamed. But evolving as I do have, and having Zen and recognizing that, I felt like I owed him that. You know, Kiyosa didn't, he didn't get a very good version of me. You know, and he deserved it. I wrote down, talk about Kiyosa's tattoo. Cause I mean, I've mentioned it before, but it's just a, you know, really special dog. And again, when I look at Zen, it's like a human being. It's just different. Like, it's such a different level. Our communication, our relationship is ridiculous. Like, every day Zen amazes me. So when I think back, you know, I didn't give Kiyosa that chance. And I apologize. I apologize to Kiyosa. It's just something I really want to make up for. So, this is one of the best stories I heard in the entire year. And it involved a 2-year-old boy named Graham. His father, good friend and client, made him a smoothie, little cap, little straw, little cup. Outside it had been, you know, fall and winter and rainy and cold, so they picked up all the furniture and chairs and everything. There's nothing outside. And when Graham's father gave him the smoothie, he all of a sudden looked and couldn't find Graham. He's like, where'd Graham go? And all of a sudden he looks and he sees Graham going around the side of the house and grabbing this little deck chair his size and comes around to the patio. The patio's empty. He sits down in the middle of the patio and he sits down with the smoothie. And his dad's like kind of laughing, kind of tripping out. And he opens the window and he goes, Graham, what are you doing? It's a 2-year-old. He points up and he goes, clouds are beautiful. And I was like, right away, that's the best story I've heard ever. A 2-year-old. And what are his father and I talking about? Stopping, pausing, being present, enjoying the moment. And his 2-year-old just up and just killed it. And I just something about that little dude that just tickles me to death, but I just love it. Like, those are the little moments, those little stories that fill me up. And here's another one that filled me up. So, been connected to a family, the Morrisons, for a long time. All started with a 10 second of Zen, and I started listening to my podcast, and then I started training the father, and then mentoring the mother, and then this past summer taught the whole family kind of an exercise class once a week, and it filled my cup. But I was talking to them a couple days ago, and they said that for Christmas they were driving, you know, to a couple different relatives because they, you know, weren't gathering. And they said, so we just put the podcast on. So there's 4 of them in a car driving, listening to my podcast. And I thought, that's just a cool image, just a cool visual. I remember being in the car with my family, the back seat, you know, 2 or 3 of kids in the back, mother and father in the front, and what are you listening to? Whatever they put on the radio. And I'm like, all of a sudden it's just like this stop, and you picture this family in a car, and they're listening to a podcast together, but it's your podcast. And it was just, again, just a moment that kind of stopped me and going, well, you did something right. And that's just a cool, it's a super cool moment. Like, I just really couldn't explain how it felt, but it's just that feeling where you kind of get filled up. You're kind of like, well, that's a good feeling. I like that. So here's a, I try to tell people I'm kind of a different dude. And not like, and yay, look at me. I'm just saying it. Look, I'm not your normal. So things that I've gone without, and there wouldn't be sacrifices, but just things that I have set aside in the pursuit of a better me. So I haven't dated a girl, been with a girl, in 5 years. Haven't gone out to eat, 5 years. Haven't gone to a church, over 5 years. Haven't celebrated a holiday in almost 5 years. I haven't had alcohol for over 1 year. I haven't been sick for over 5 years. I haven't spoken to my family in 4 years. I've gone without porn for 3 months. And one other thing is in November, and I didn't mention this, it was just kind of like another one of those natural things. Like, oh, the porn, you know, I'm ready to stop that. Move. And then it was the thank you. You know, start out 10 thank yous a day. For my faith, my health, sends health. And then it went to 20. And then I got in an accident and went to 30, and I added a 4th, which was right now. I'm thankful for right now. So those 4 things I was thankful for and said it 30 times a day. And in November, I went, well, why don't I just go to 40? So I went to 40. But I found out that I do that once, twice, sometimes 3 times a day. And it's kind of weird how I was like, if I said it 10 times a day, I was like, okay, I'm good. Now I do it 40, but I do it once or twice a day. It's not work, and it's not effort. feel like I should be doing it. Like I should just be saying thank you all day long. Every moment that I can think, every moment that I think, can speak, I should be saying thank you. And there was a lightning storm a couple nights ago, and it rained. It hasn't rained in a long time, but it felt like it was just dumped. I said, like, you have a shower head with all the little holes, and it's coming out, and then all of a sudden, just the whole entire shower head opens up, and all the water crashes down. That's what it sounded like, and it was thunder and light. Like, it was just crazy, and it's very, very rare to have those moments in LA, but it's like I love weather, and it was just like this crazy thing that happened and stopped the world in California. But what I'm getting to is I did something which I liked, again, just being present. It's the last little story. So my neighbor has a dog named Martin. His name's Michael, really cool dude. And he said, Martin and Zen just get along. Like, they're about the same size, it's about a year apart in age, not exactly the same breed, but they just have kind of the same mannerisms. And I really kind of grew to love Martin. Like, he started, when he sees me out, like when he's like inside the house, but sees me outside, he'll start howling, like whimpering. Like, he'll bark at people, and he starts howling when it's me, and he wants to run out just to say hi. So we really bonded, and they're like, hey, can you just make sure no one, you know, you got some homeless people, you know, hovering, and, you know, because they were going to go back east for like 2 weeks. I'm like, yeah, I'll walk by, take care of the house, no problem. And it's a cool kind of old California house, and the porch is, you know, it's like a white house with blue accents, and it's just old school California, but it's all these plants on the porch. And I text him, I said, well, maybe Zen, I'll hang out on the porch, you know, just people walking by, kind of like the scarecrow effect. Oh, there's people there. And he's like, yeah, hang out, whatever you want. And so I was just kind of hanging out, kicking it there one day, and I enjoy lawn work. And his lawn was kind of trash, like kind of a bunch of weeds and overgrown stuff and dead stuff. And it just, you know, the yard part isn't really good. And I asked him if he had like a backyard, is there something I should check out? And he's like, oh, we just have this little garden area. And I went back there, and it was kind of trashed. But there was like this little round path, and he had set some stones, and they had planted some stuff. So it was like potential. And then just a little bit, day by day, moment by moment, I started kind of doing little things. And it wouldn't even be that long, like maybe, you know, a half hour or something, and walk back with Zen, and we'd hang out. And again, it was really slow, you know, during Christmas and after Christmas. And, you know, so it was like nothing to do. And I went over there, and then one day I'm like, okay, I'm just going to rake the front yard. And the garbage was coming. So, like, I put the you know, there's the recycle, there's the regular garbage, and there's the green one for all the grass and stuff, and that was full. So I put that out there, emptied all those, brought those back in, and started cleaning the front yard, organizing it, cleaning the porch, just made everything in the front look really good as it could, because it's not like there's grass down there, just kind of like these weeds and stuff. But all the dead stuff was gone, it was organized, it just looked good. But the backyard is where the magic happened, and I totally like elevated this what could be kind of a cool little garden into like this totally cool Zen garden. And then these blue chairs stacked up, and they're all dirty, and I dusted them off, and I cleaned them, and I brought them out. And I, like many other people, have blue shells. So I brought these blue shells over there, and I made this rock stack, and I put it in the center, and then I raked it when I was done, and all the leaves, all like, it looks so good. And I'm so excited for them to come back, because, like, hey, just watch our house. That's all they said. And when they come back, what they're going to get. And it was like, I just allowed it to happen moment by moment. I mean, been gone for like a week and a half. It wasn't hard. You know what I mean? A little bit at a time, but little things done consistently. And what it amounted to, it's just such, I so wish I would have took a before picture, because I took after pictures. Like, well, so what? But it just pleased me. It like filled me that was just something I kind of unconsciously decided to do. Like my time and energy kind of naturally flow to good because I'm present. That kind of verbiage that I can say, that I can feel, that I can express, that I'm experiencing, that's probably the thing that I am most thankful for. So if I'm thinking that, feeling that, saying that at the end of 2020, 2020 was a good year for Tom and Zen. I hope it was for you too. We're winding down. Almost finished with the last PYP episode of 2020. And I have three more things to mention. And then I have something that just happened. That's just kind of funny because I just had to send or record the intro and the pro you moment and then send it to Nico. And I was just going to, you know, get up, do that, and boom. And then last night there was a moment, so I'll share that in a bit. But one add-on to that, I don't do anymore. I haven't cut my hair or my beard in 3 months. I had a vision of myself at 60, and I'm headed there. So if you see me with facial hair, hair on my head growing, it's because I didn't cut it. I don't cut it. That's what happens. Don't be freaked out. If you don't cut your hair, it grows. Well, most people. So that was one. Two, there was a client, and I completely understood it. And I was sharing this with a couple people, and it kind of really resonated. Busy guy, married, two young children, and it was Christmas Eve, and he normally cooks. And I asked him, you know, he's going to cook. And he's like, I don't know. And he goes, it's just weird. It's like every day just blends together. It's like, you know, yesterday I was at home, you know, doing what I'm doing, and today I'm at home doing what I'm doing. It's like, what's the reason? Oh, today let's. And I understood it. But it was shortly after that where I thought, and I did say it to him, right? Kind of just off the cuff, just said to him, hey, you know, just remember y'all are healthy, and, you know, you got two baby girls and they're healthy, and that's what's important. And, you know, just remember that. Just kind of again, just threw it out there really quick. But that maybe what kind of set in motion going, that's the test now. I mean, if your worst thing, your challenge, your cross, your burden that you're carrying right now is this day doesn't feel like it normally does, or this holiday is different than the other holidays, or I don't get to do what I want to do, or I have to wear a mask. You know, if those are your problems, jump up and down and scream, thank you, Jesus. You know what I mean? Like, there's bad happening all over. And on whatever episode it was, you know, I hear about that mom and dad killed by a drunk driver. The three kids, 1, 2, and 3, are in critical condition. And it's like a month before Christmas and the COVID and all that. And it's like, those, you think of those three children. I'm like, that could just be anybody. And then 2 days later, I'm driving, there's a car next to me, a little bit ahead of me. Car comes down off ramp, T-bones the car, you know, ahead of me and next to me. But what's to say I wasn't that car? You know what I mean? In that lane, just a little bit ahead, and I just got T-boned. You know, just not getting in an accident, not having something going wrong, something breaking, getting bad news. You get bored. And then you start thinking, wow, you know, I wanted today to be different, and it's not. I wanted it to be special, and it's not. And it's like, it's completely the wrong path. Completely the wrong path. So it's like, just even more so now than ever, be thankful for that which you have. I posted this thing this morning about Zen, and I said, I have all I need. and all I need is all I want. I mean, it's just so ridiculously easy to be thankful when you start getting it. And it's like, my list grows every day. Like, I'm this wealthy guy. So I made a note, told the client, and then this moment happened last night. I'm like, exactly. So the thing about knowing yourself and emptying the bad, quieting the noise, so you can pursue a better you, and you evolve and you grow and you start understanding, oh, that wasn't me, that was them. I'm not that bad. I'm not that broke. Here's my good. Here's my value. Let me build that new vibe. Let me attract a new tribe. And then you own it. So there I am in the castle, top floor, looking out the window, moat around the castle filled with alligators, and the drawbridge pulled up. And if I ever look across, yeah, I can see them. I can see the people of Kryptonite Town. And I just don't pay any attention. And that's the gift now. You know, my superpowers, I don't really think about yesterday. I don't really think about tomorrow. I'm pretty present, dude. And that's what makes me, you know, kind of have the ability to have these great moments. And like I said, the moments I shared, the, I don't know how many there were, but, you know, those were dope experiences to me. Really cool moments. Why am I having those dope, really cool experiences? Because I'm the best me I've ever been. In lieu of what other people might think or say, who I don't care about. So it was a while back, and all of a sudden I was on Instagram and I saw the name, and I'm like, is that my mother? And there's, you know, no picture, and I click on the profile, and there's no profile. It's like she just, like, obviously got help creating some sort of, you know, just a profile so she could just watch, you know, check out my stuff, whatever. And now I was just like, whoa. Like, someone started lowering the drawbridge. I was like, no. I'm not mad. I don't hate you. I got nothing bad about you. But you had 51 years to change, and you didn't. And that's cool. Again, no ill will, but the drawbridge closed. You don't get to peek in the castle. I built the castle, now my castle. You don't get to peek in. You don't get to look through the windows. You don't get to cross the drawbridge. You don't. That's what you lost by being consistently who you were for 51 years. And that's just in stone to me. And that was it. Well, last night I was up a little bit later than normal. And checked my phone for some reason, and then I went to Instagram and I went to my story, and the story, like, will show you, like, who watched your story. And I see initials and Dieters, and I'm like, is that my youngest sibling? I'm like, what? Like, I'm like, and I click on it and it's him. Now, I don't name my family. I try not to speak bad about my family. And really, right now, I don't really want to talk about them. I haven't in a while. That's the great gift. The noise is quiet. But here's again. The people of Kryptonite Town will continue to demonstrate and show you who they are. Tapping on the door. Yep, I'm still me. Yep, this is who I am. Well, on the other hand, I'm completely me, comfortably me, confidently me. I live with conviction, and there's very little doubt. So tying this all around, I was telling a client, I go, you know what? You really know if I like you, and you really know if I don't like you. There's no real gray. Like, you know, I walk around, and I just, you know, I just know that there's certain people in the neighborhood, and they, like, kind of walk away, avoid me, and I'm like, yep. And you think, it's just, I don't waste time. They're not going to approach me. They're not going to talk to me. You know, a woman at the dog park was complaining to a woman about the dog park condition, and she said she's going to get on the phone, and then she got on the phone really loud, and she said, I want to complain about the, you know, explain to someone to connect her, and then she looked at me, and she started telling me, and I just slowly turned my head and walked away. Now, she could have said, wow, that was rude, and I'm like, yeah, I really don't care. I heard you kind of screaming who you are. I'm negative. I want to be loud. I want to complain. And after a bit, I left the park. And as I'm walking out the park, I see her dog pooping. She's looking the other way on the phone. And I'm like, number one, two rule, dog owner, clean up after your dog. Maybe that's why the park's yucky, because it's really just beaten up because of dogs. You know, you have a beautifully manicured park that's closed for, you know, over a year and a half. And then you open it to dogs. And yeah, that's what's going to happen. So again, this woman just like, this is who I am. And I'm like, I didn't, you know, in that moment, I don't care. Everybody that I don't know, you can think I'm rude. I don't care. I don't care. There's that little image quote that I love popped into my head. It's like, everybody cares what everybody thinks. And that shows this dude, stick figures. And it shows this one stick figure floating up with a holding on to one balloon with one hand and then flipping off with his other hand. It's except Tom. Tom doesn't give a shit. And I saw it like, you know, 2-3 times, like, you know, 1 year and then like 2 years later. And then I just saw it kind of a while ago. And I just thought of that. I'm like, exactly. I don't. So to me, it's just, I don't waste energy. I don't waste time. I don't waste effort. So, little backstory. This particular sibling, the youngest, it was kind of, you know, he just, I came up with the title Keyboard Courage with him. Just entitled and opinionated ever since whenever. And I put a lot of time into this dude. And so, towards the end, it just got like he was just chat, and I just was like, you know, just stop, and it was just done. And then I noticed that he had, I think I went to block him on Facebook, but he had blocked me on Facebook. Didn't care. I'm like, cool, great, perfect. Now we just, so all of a sudden I'm like, okay, that dude that was like, you're not going to see my world, you're not going to look at my life or kids, whatever, you know, it's like, but you're going to check out mine? And I was like, you know what I mean? Like, you're going to be this, hey, I'm not, I'm in it, but there's just so many quotes that popped into my head. Like, once you close that door and don't need anybody, they all want to come in. Once you don't care about someone, then all they do, you know, want to find out what you're doing. And I'm like, I don't give a rat's ass about this dude. And it was so funny because it wasn't the anger, like, you know, when I get mad. I'm like, oh, that feeling. But my heart was beating like I was in the castle. I heard a noise, and I looked up, and someone from Kryptonite Town was looking in a window. I was like, how did you get across the moat with the alligators and the drawbridge up? You know, you do not get in. I thought, okay, blocked. You know, so I just blocked his account. And then I remember, I was just thinking one day, I was like, you know, when I blocked all my family's phone numbers, I'm like, no one tried to email me. I'm like, you just email if they really wanted to. And then someone said, oh, you can block email. And I said, oh, I didn't even know that. And that was just it. And that was a while ago. Didn't even think about it. I was like, okay, I'm going to explain as briefly to the point as I can in a quick little email. And this was pretty late last night because I was going to, you know, it was like when I got that Christmas card, I was like, okay, I'm going to write on it, return to sender, and I'm going to walk out the house right now and put it, I wanted it out. So I wanted the thought of this person peeking in on my life And I'm like, what? We like, you kick me out of yours and you act like you do and you say everything you do and you talk a bunch of shit. And but you want to follow me on Instagram? You want to check out my posts? It's like, no. So quickly, briefly, and I'm going to share what I said. And then I sent the email. And then I blocked his email. And I woke up this morning and it's like this party that looks to see if there's a response. I'm like, well, there's no response. He's blocked everywhere. He can't respond. I don't even know really if he got it. I'm sure he did, though. Pretty anal that way. But I just think it made him pee his little pants. And then he had to, I guess, yeah, this is where it is. And it wasn't like angry. It wasn't like it was just putting the foot down. And I thought of the therapist, my first therapist. She said this quote, and it really kind of transcended when I thought about it again this morning. She said, it's your bus. You kick people off. You can invite them back on. You can kick them off. And I've always kind of said that. But this morning, I really related it to, you know, the people in your life. Like, you really, really get to just go, no, that door is closed to you. And there, the joy in my life is I don't think about the people from Kryptonite Town. I don't think about yesterday. I don't think about tomorrow. I'm incredibly thankful. I'm the best I've ever been, and I love the shit out of that. Hence why I got a tattoo of my age on my freaking hand. That's not a subtle thing. It's not, I think it was a good year. Maybe I'll, yeah. No, that's a boom. My life rocks. I love it. I love me. So there's just clarity, and there's just no wasted time. And if I ever thought, you know, once in a great while, I'd be like, well, I'd walk up to this youngest sibling and slap him. I wouldn't punch him. You punch a guy. He's not worth a punch, but just a disrespectful young punk to me, entitled. And I'm just like, you got a big mouth. I thought you're embarrassed. Those are just, again, like maybe once or twice I thought this in the last how many years. If I ever saw him again, this is what I'd do. Poke him in the forehead with a knuckle so he gets a little welt and go, you're embarrassing. Shooting off your mouth, talking all the time. Like, that's not who I am. That's not how I was raised. That's not how I grew up. My dad made me. You're silent until you're spoken to. You know what I mean? Like, there was no opinionated entitlement coming out of me as a youngster. I was so afraid I was wet in the bed. So completely different, I guess, experience or childhood or whatever it was. But it was incredibly quiet this morning. Because again, it was like I just stomped it out and I thought, how quickly did I demonstrate my true feelings? Like, it was just, I mean, there wasn't anything, but I'm closing that door, and I hope it closes on your fingers. So you never try to look through this window again. You don't get to do you, say what you did, do what you did, and then get to peek into my life. And again, not planned, didn't want to share it, but wrapping it all around to what I was saying to my client. You really know one way or the other. There's not a lot of gray. I think Tom might like me. I think Tom might not like me, said no one ever. And to reach that, where I saw Image Quote and it happened to use my name and I love it, that Tom doesn't give a shit, that's what I achieved. That's what I was rewarded for my effort. And again, another quote is flying in my head. In the end, all I learned is that I was strong enough to be alone. See, the young, entitled, opinionated kid that's got the big house and the big job and kids must have been bored. that he needed to peer into my life. Again, I could care less. And that's what I'm selling. You know, I'm not saying you got to do what I did at all to anyone. But for almost 6 years, I've been sharing my story. Didn't even really know where it was headed when I started. But it got better, and it got better because I got better. And the podcast grew and evolved because I grew and evolved. And pretty soon, I was doing Tom Solo pods because I was walking a solo path. And then I found confidence, comfortableness. And I know I have conviction. So when I close the door, when I look at someone in the neighborhood, and when I tear up talking to a client online, everybody's really clear about how I feel because I'm clear on who I am. And that is living efficiently. And I think that's what I do. And again, I think if you're present, you're living efficiently, you're not wasting your time and energy on things you can't control, but you're controlling the shit out of the things that you can control, there's a pretty good life to be had. And I'm demonstrating that. And again, my story is what's possible. For I am the best I've ever been. And I turned 55. And it's 2020. So I got me a tattoo that says so, because it is so, because I said so. That's what I'm selling. I will see you, my favorite people, the PYP listeners, in the new year. Hugs. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Be you, do you, because you are worth it. To your last Pro You moment of 2020. Let's make it a fantastic one, shall we? Controlling that which we can. Seated on the floor, eyes closed, neutral neck, shoulders over hips, navel tucked into the spine. Fantastic start. Our foundation is in place. Let's build upon that. We're going to draw the inhale through the nose. Allow the exhale out the mouth. We're going to slow them down. We're going to elongate them. We're going to enjoy them. We're going to experience our breath. And to do that, we're going to need to focus on our breath. And to do that, we're going to have to connect our mind to our body. Whilst doing that, we will simultaneously be blocking out everything else, making us very present. Now, if anything does foreign enter the space between your ears, kindly, calmly, ask it to leave and return to your breath. Do this to the best of your ability for 180 seconds. I will let you know when time is up. You may begin now. Done consistently. Big year. Check. 2020. Check. Do my best. Check. Be the best. Check. Do little things consistently. Check. Don't give up. Check. Don't quit. Check. Keep moving forward. Check. Embrace reality. Check. Allow your perspective to shift. Check. Deem yourself worthy. Check. Evolve. Check. My story is completely, simply, sincerely, what's possible. It's not what I'd written down. It's not what I'd wanted. It's not what I'd dreamed of. But it's what I was given. And it's how I chose to respond. And that's what humbles me each and every day, is how good my walk is on the earth today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being you. Thank you for deeming yourself worthy. Be safe. Peace and God bless.